Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 22. We'll read responsively. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, verses 19 starts out and says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom ye are also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit."
We'll read responsibly Ephesians 3, verse 15. Ephesians 3, 15, the Bible says together,
"Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named."
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the day, Father. We pray that you be with our preacher, Lord, as he brings the message unto us, Father. I pray you give him power, give him spirit, Lord. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts during the message today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you'll listen this morning, I think I can help you. God knows my heart. You'll go and hear better preachers, I'm sure. You'll find fancier preachers. But I'll promise you one thing, you'll go long and hard to find a preacher that cares about people as much as I do and would like to help meet your needs. I have never asked God to preach a good sermon. I've asked him to let me help people. I've asked God to help me be a blessing to those of you that hear this sermon today. Our sermons go on our website and, is the right word, podcast? I think there's one of those two. You can tell I'm real technical. And they go around the country and even sometimes around the world. I get emails on a regular basis from all over the country and all over the world. Don't take this the wrong way. I want to get the gospel out to every creature we can, but I'm more concerned about what takes place here at 4272 Charlestown Road than anywhere in the world. I really am. I'm preaching in Illinois this week. They get something I preached a few weeks ago. I'm not preaching new stuff to them. I'll get the fresh stuff for y'all. Everybody else gets leftovers. And so I want to help you today. Please be still. Let me help you today. God tells us here in Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3, and he talks about his family. We read in verse 19 in chapter 2, it says, "of the household of God." That's in reference to God's family. We saw in chapter 3, verse 15, it talked about the family of God, in whom the family is fitly joined together. Now, let me remind you that we're all sinners. Yes, folks, Christians are sinners too. Right. If you're looking for a perfect church, the moment you step in, it became imperfect. I know this, the moment I stepped in, it's imperfect for sure. No comments. You see, here's the thing. I believe we ought to let the Word of God tell us how to live. We shouldn't tell God how we want God to accept what we do. I just believe God's smart enough, God's wise enough to tell us in here how he expects us to behave and live, and we're supposed to do what he said and not bring God down to man and say, "This is what you have to accept of me." According to the book of Jude, the Bible says that thou hast gone the way of Cain. That's how Cain lived. Cain said, "God, I don't want to do what you want me to do. If you won't accept what I have, too bad." That's the way the average person lives in America today, including Christians. Now, we Christians often think that because we're saved and spiritual, that we don't need God. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Can I tell you something? I believe the closer you get to God, the more of God you need. My wife and I just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Can I tell you something? I thought I needed my wife 30 years ago. I need her now more than I did 30 years ago. I rely on her more now than I did 30 years ago. You say, why? Because the closer we get, the more I need. The closer we get, the more she needs. And the same is true about God. Now, I want to help you with something. God uses a term here that just is just very special to me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then back in verse in chapter 2, it talks about that we are fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. Now, I know you don't believe this, but I do understand music. I can't sing, but I understand music. I played trumpet for about 20 years. I've played baritone, played a little bit trombone, played just about any kind of brass instrument there was. And I read music. I can read both clefs. I understand it. I just don't sing very well. 1 year ago yesterday, our dear song leader, Brother Rich Stoltz, went to heaven. And since then, I've had to do the song leading. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get back at Brother Stoltz, let me tell you. But this term, fitly framed together, let me try that one again. Fitly framed together is literally a musical term. It means building harmony. Now, listen to this very carefully. Harmony is chord. It is putting more than one note together to make something sound more full. Brother Randy, can I borrow you at the get box over here? He's going to help me illustrate this. Don't look at him. Look at me. I'm better looking. I got more hair than he's got right now, at least. Play middle C for me. All right? That is a note. All right? Now, middle C by itself doesn't mean much to you. That's just one note. Hit it again. Now, let's do something to it. Why don't you add A below middle C to it? Now, play them both together. Those notes go together to build a chord. Now play the whole C chord. Play it all at one time. Now play just middle C. Middle C by itself is okay, but play that whole chord. God says you can fitly frame it together. Fitly framing it is taking notes that go together, putting them together, and making it sound like it should. Harmony in music is adding different notes all together to make chords. Now, let me show you something. Brother Randy, how about you play Jesus Loves Me only using middle C? Hang on, they got the hint. Now watch this. Do you know that most people in their homes, that's what they want for their family? They want everybody on the same note. God says, I want harmony. God says, I want to play full chords through it. Can you hit Jesus Loves Me without the music there and just kind of play a few, one hand? Yeah. Okay, can you play it with chords? Now, which one sounds better to you, that or just middle C playing Jesus? See, that doesn't make sense. You're right. Thank you, Brother Andy. You can have a seat. Yeah. Oh, no. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. God says that his family is different notes put together to make chords. Too many people want monotone families. They want everybody on the same note, doing the same thing at the same time, and everybody has to be the same. No, God says, I want the different personalities added to it. My wife and I are like middle C and A. I won't tell you which one's which. But I can tell you grade-wise which one we were. Wait a minute. But then God added to it 3 children. Of which I have one who came back and visited. She says she visited us, but she came back to see Brother Dorsey. I got better sense than that. I might be old, but I ain't stupid. She might be staying at my house, but she didn't come there to see me. Now, wait a minute. You see, too many people want everybody on the same note in their homes. Did you know my daughter is not me? Did you know she's not her mother? God made her as an individual. God made her with her personality. God made her with her abilities. She has abilities that her mom and I don't have. And God is using those abilities and God is using those things, but yet she's still part of the family. God doesn't expect everybody to be in unification. He wants us to be in harmony with one another. And God says that his house is many different personalities put together to build beautiful chord and make music that is pleasant to him. Grace Baptist Church, we're a bunch of nuts. To our visitors, I say this often, you don't have to be crazy to come here, but it helps, but please take your medicine. Now, wait a minute. You say, what is that? Because we've got all different personalities that God has brought together that on paper you'd say, that ain't going to work. But boy, you put it all together and it makes beautiful music. I'll promise you that. You go long and hard to find a church that's this friendly. You go long and hard to find a church that's this pulled together as a big family. Say, why is that? Because we've let God build the harmony in our church. Don't expect everybody to be in unison. We're not just singing one note all the way through. We're going to sing all the notes and bring all the personality. And I realize you can get crazy in chording. You can have major chords and minor chords and augmented chords, and you can have dissonant chords, and you can have all those things, and I understand all that mess. It doesn't mean much to you, but I can promise you this thing. To have a chord that is pleasing, you have to have more than one note. Now listen to me very carefully. God says that his household has harmony that is fitly framed to build full, colorful, pleasant chords. One note does not make a chord. God wants us to have harmony at home. By the way, he doesn't want monotone homes. It's not supposed to be Charlie Brown's teacher. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul. I had a college professor. Mrs. Lopez will know who this is, and my wife. And I think that's it. God bless him. He was one of those teachers. He had a photographic memory. He was a brilliant mind. Just nobody could listen to him long enough to figure it out. He literally would teach his notes in front of the class like this, reading them off his mind while he walked for 45 minutes every class hour. Most everybody failed his class the first time they took it. Classes. They would take the class, fail it, get all the tests. He never changed any of the material. So they would take it again the second time and pass it. Now, I passed it the first time through. It was the lowest grade I got in college, but I passed it the first time through. There were guys that sat there and read newspapers. They had card games going on. They were playing Uno back in the back of class. They knew they weren't going to pass the class. They were just getting the material. He asked some of the dumbest questions in all the world for test questions. He was one of those teachers you took to learn how never to teach. Trust me. Now, God bless him. He thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. He was excited about it. But let me tell you, in a room full of 60 people, he was the only one excited about it. Say, what was that? And he talked like this the whole time, never raised his voice, never changed tone. He was monotone. And to have that at 8 o'clock in the morning is not a pleasant thing. Now listen to me very carefully. If everyone is expected to be the same in a home, it's going to be a boring, monotone home. There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of people not quite able to make it. There's nothing worse than two instruments and one's out of tune. One's just about an eighth of a step below where it should be, or an eighth of a step sharp. Say, what is that? They're not in tune with each other. And you wonder why your home is not in tune with each other, because you're expecting everybody to play the same note. Everybody doing okay? God wants us to build the family fitly together in good harmony. By the way, we live in a society where you have step situations, step parents and step children. Some of you have in-laws at home. They're not supposed to be outlaws. They're in-laws. Did you know they're part of the family too? And they're to be fitly framed together. Now, I know everybody's got that Uncle Louie and Aunt Gertrude that nobody gets along with. Now, if your name's Louie or Gertrude, don't get mad at me. But y'all know what I'm talking about. You have that one in the family that you wonder where they found him. You wonder what pile of wood it came out from under. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Does anybody else have those? All right, I have them. I didn't think I was alone. Wait a minute. George Washington said, no man can do it all. We need help. We all have strengths and weaknesses, and only by listening and working with others can we maximize the positive and minimize the negatives. Did you know that's true at home too? Did you know that's true at home as well? As my children were growing up, we taught them life. We taught them that there's going to come a point in time in life where you have to do your own laundry. So you better start from the time you can walk. Now, they didn't do their own laundry, but they were picking it up and putting it in the basket and helping mom take it to the wash machine. And when the kids were big enough, she'd put the basket up there and hold the kid in one hand and let them put the clothes in the wash machine. Then they'd get a little bigger. They wanted to put the soap in there. Be careful. It can get exciting. But by the time my children reached junior high school, they were doing their own laundry. Because I knew the day was coming where they were going to move out and they needed to do their own laundry, not expect mama to do the laundry. When school was in, my wife taught school for about 20 years of our marriage. She's an incredible teacher, but she worked teaching full time while I was working full time, double, plus, triple, whatever. You name it, we were doing it. And Saturday afternoon was clean the house day. Good night, we'd break up the duties. I'd clean bathrooms, and one would vacuum, and one would dust, and one would do whatever. And then we would switch duties. Say, preacher, you cleaned bathrooms? Yes, I've cleaned toilets, I've cleaned sinks, I cleaned tubs, I've done all that, washed the mirrors and all that kind of stuff, you know, get the toothpaste off of there where everybody can't hit the sink, but they sure can hit the mirror, you know. Y'all, if your home was anything like ours, at least it was. And can I tell you something? We taught our children how to survive when we weren't there. Now listen to me. The people who live in your household and those who are your family. Those who lived in your household are your family. But this means your stepchildren and your stepparents are your family too. And if you have one of those situations, your stepchildren's other family is family too. And vice versa with stepparents. Now listen to me very carefully here. Can I tell you something? God's family is the church. That's why we call each other brother or sister. Because we have the same father, God. And when you got the same daddy, guess what? You're family. I might have another brother from another mother. Amen, Brother Barnes. Or I got another sister. But we got the same daddy spiritually. His name is God. And God expects not just our homes, but he expects the church to be in harmony with each other. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God does not say he wants us living a monotone life. He wants us to be fitly framed together in a beautiful chord that sounds pleasing and is pleasing to him. Now, let me show you what that means and how to make this work. Number one, teach children to obey. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Y'all are good at quoting that one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, everybody look at me. I love you. If God's your father, then you as a child of God ought to obey too. Parents, can I tell you the best way to teach your children to obey? They need to see you obey. Don't get mad at them when they start driving and break the speed limit. They watch you do it all the time. Ouch. Now we went from preaching to meddling, didn't we? Can I tell you something? We had a little incident at the church this week, and somebody tried to get into the church building, and they tried to get in three different doors. And I think possibly they successfully got in, but God pulled the fire alarm, and the fire alarm went off, and nobody can figure out why. The state police were here taking a report Thursday morning, and I was talking to the officer, and we got everything under control, and we're working on our security cameras and different things, and all that kind of stuff. Nothing was taken, praise the Lord. And I know some of you are ready to call down fire from heaven and burn somebody's bridge, but I just hope they learn something, they come back and get saved and don't have to worry about that. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. Of course, I was talking to them. Brother Dorsey was with me, and I had to give him my driver's license to prove who I was, and they had to do a check on me just to make sure. And I said, don't worry, it's clean. I haven't even had a speeding ticket since 30 years ago. As a matter of fact, 30 years ago, in about a week or so ago, on my way to my wedding 30 years ago, I got my last speeding ticket. And I wasn't running behind, I just was in a hurry to get there, amen? But can I tell you something? It's been 30 years since I had one. I said, well, preacher, that's some kind of record. Maybe for you, but that is one part of the record I can control. If you just obey the speed limit, you don't get a speeding ticket. It's that simple. When I taught my children to drive, I taught them to follow the speed limit. They pay their own tickets. I'm not paying them. I refuse to pay their speeding tickets. You say, why? That's something you can control. I taught them to obey the law. By the way, isn't that a good thing for all of us to do? If we just obey. Can I tell you something? We're good about telling children how they're supposed to behave. Let me ask you a question. How are you behaving according to God? Are you in obedience to God? Or are you telling God, just wait and I'll do it when I get a chance? Oh, that didn't work at our house. You know, when Dad said, Craig, take the trash out, I didn't say, well, when I get a chance, when I feel like it, I'll get it out. Well, he had a way of making you feel like you should do it right away. It wasn't a pleasant feeling either. Say, what was it? We had a Board of Education meeting. It was applied to the seed of knowledge. And I wasn't real bright, but I did learn quick. Amen? Say, what is that? Can I tell you something? Children are supposed to be taught to obey. We live in a world where children are not taught to obey. They're taught to tell adults what to do. In our society, everything is about the child. I am for our children. My Bible calls them arrows. Arrows are meant to be shot, not displayed on the wall at the house. Amen. I'm ready for bow season to start. There's a white buck running around the church property, and he's going to hang on my office wall. I'm going to get him. But I'm not going to show him my arrow and he's just going to fall over dead. I got to shoot that puppy. Can I tell you something? The same is true with your children. You say, well, children are a heritage of the Lord. Yes, if you can shoot them as an arrow and they do what they were intended to do. You see, uncontrolled children are ashamed of their parents. Let me read a couple verses to you. Proverbs chapter 29. You don't need to turn there. I'll read them out of the King James Bible. That's the only real one. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. The Bible says this. That wasn't the right chapter. Now I am. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Folks, it's criminal what takes place in America today. I still believe children ought to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I just believe in that. We've got our young people, and I make sure they say yes, sir, to me. I'm not being unkind. I'm teaching them respect. By the way, I tell them yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I believe in giving the respect back that I want to get given to me. As my children would grow up, I didn't say, yeah, I was, yes, ma'am. It wasn't, yes, no, it's, yes, sir. I spoke to them the same way I expected them to speak to me so that I had the right to correct them when they didn't. You see, uncontrolled children are ashamed to their parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Foolish children steal joy from their parents. Now, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When a child lives ungodly, the Bible calls them fools. I don't call them that. God does. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 21, the Bible says this, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. A foolish child gets into foolish problems and gets into foolish mistakes and then gets into problems that are way over their head. Say, why is that? Because they've pushed God out. They've pushed obedience out. A fool knows what's right and chooses to do wrong. They become a fool because first they're a scorner and they start questioning all the rules. Now, I got to hurry here. This is true of children, but it's also true of Christians. Amen. Now let me bring it down to where you and I live as adults and teenagers. Can I tell you something? If God said it, that's it. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. I didn't write it. God wrote it. I'm responsible for telling you what God said. Everybody doing okay? You see, we're supposed to not be foolish children of God. We're not supposed to be unwise children of God. So, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Listen to this very carefully here. The word provoke means to frustrate intensely. It means to cause anger by antagonizing. It means to aggravate or to purposely anger. Now listen to me. All of us parents know our kids. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If I want to, give me 15 seconds and I can get her mad at me. I know what button to push to get her mad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not supposed to do that on purpose on a regular basis. Now, that doesn't mean when she was growing up and she didn't want to do a certain duty that I didn't make her do the duty. She can get mad all she wants about truth, but she's still going to obey. But I don't purposely go into an argument with her to get it done. My dad had a way of settling all arguments. Take the trash out. Dad, I'll get to it later. Son, you got one of two choices. You can take the trash out now, or you can get spanking, and then you'll take the trash out now. You choose whether you do it with or without getting spanked. I wasn't real bright, but I was smart enough to know getting whipped wasn't worth it. Just take the trash out. He settled all those. He didn't get mad. He didn't raise his voice. He just simply said, you want to do it with or without a spanking? Oh, you must hate your dad. My dad's 80 years old and love him to death. First phone call he makes when mom's down, I need help. Be glad to, Dad. I know. I'd do anything to help my mom or dad. Say, why? Because they taught me respect. They taught me obedience. Now, I don't have to obey my 80-year-old dad. I'm 52 years old. I don't have to obey daddy. If they have something at dinner today and I don't like it, I don't have to eat it. When I was growing up in their house, I had to eat it. Now, I don't have to. But can I say something? I don't sit there and criticize it. I try to be respectful. Everybody doing okay? Too many of us provoke children to wrath. We know they're going to get upset about them, so we purposely get them upset about it before we ever get to where the problem is, instead of fixing the problem. People are good about that in their marriages. You know how to get your husband or wife upset. You like pushing that button just to watch them get red-faced and get angry. Too many of you keep pushing the wrong button. Or as I like to say, quit poking the bear, because you poke the bear long enough, it's going to bite. Number two, Ellen just wants to see the bear. Ellen, come see me afterwards. The fellow that helped my wife yesterday just shot a 370-pound bear in Canada. I've got pictures for you. All right. Now, number next. Husbands need to learn to love in harmony. Husbands and wives need to learn to love in harmony. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I tell you something? Fellas, that doesn't mean you have the right to stand in your house and beat your hands on your chest like a monkey and say, look at me, I'm the boss. The moment you have to pound your chest and say, I'm the boss, you just lost all leadership you thought you wanted. Yeah. Hate to disappoint you. Notice the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another. That means this, you have to put the right notes together. You can't have a C and a C sharp together in the same chord. It's not going to work real well. You're going to have a little in there, then it's going to cause a little bit of, your skin's going to crawl a little bit. Say, what is that? Because you're not put together fitly. You play the note C and C sharp together, they don't go together very well. You say, why? Because there's not enough distance between them. Hang on, not the distance you're thinking about. But there's not enough separation there to allow the chord to fill. Now listen to this. Husbands, we're to submit to our wives and wives to the husbands. That doesn't mean slavery. It means we work together, come to a reasonable decision, and live with it and quit bringing it back up and throwing it in each other's face. Everybody doing okay? At some point in time, somebody has to take the leadership. Right. Fellas, don't get mad at her for leading if you won't. But being a leader doesn't mean you're bossy, nasty, mean. Submission literally is the word harmony. It's coming in subjection, coming into chord together. See, each is to seek to please the other's needs and wants, not get what you want. Can I tell you how to have a happy home? I'll show you how to do it. I want that little lady sitting right there on the second row to have everything she wants and everything she needs. And I've lived for 30 years to try to give her those things. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily financial things, but there are some things she needs financially to do whatever she wants. Are we doing okay? But I'm to try to please her. The other morning I got up. And of course, I get up before most people, even though there isn't up. But I was up, and I got my coffee and things, and I thought, I can't make her coffee because it'll be cold by the time she gets there, and her cold coffee would have melted and been warm by the time we get there. So, but what I did was I wrote her a little love note, put it by the coffee machine, had coffee pot filled back up and ready for the next Keurig cup to go in, and I already put it in there for her. Say, what was that? I was thinking of her, so all she had to do is push the thing down and hit the blue button, and she got what she wanted. Just a little thing. But can I tell you something? Those things sure do add up by the time you get home. You see, too many of us want to get what we want. How about you forget what you want and give somebody else what they want? How about you forget yourself and you get so wrapped up in pleasing your spouse that you forget what you want? I'll promise you, you'll get more than you want that way. Everybody doing okay? For instance, we split our duties at our house. The inside's hers, the outside's mine. She can decorate however she wants. If she wants to put the couch in front of the front door, bless her heart, she knows I'm tired when I come home. I'll just lay down right there. I don't care. I don't care what color she wants it painted. I don't care what color sheets she puts on the bed or the comforter, or if it's pink or green or brown. Good night. Your eyes are closed when you're in there. Who gives a rip? If your manhood's challenged by what color the sheets are, you have a male problem. Let me tell you. Now, I may not wear a pink shirt or a pink tie, but I don't care what color the sheets are. The lights are out and my eyes are closed. I can slobber on pink ones or brown ones. It doesn't matter. I'm going to snore no matter what it is. And I'm colorblind and I don't give a rip. Now, when the grass gets mowed and where the flowers go, that's my job, not hers. We just work better that way. The garage and the basement, those are my man caves. She can put the car in. As long as she can get the car in, get in and out of the car, she's fine. Now, my basement, that's my butcher shop, amen? That's my workshop. And she doesn't go down there much. That's fine. But the rest of the house, that's hers. And I want her to have what she wants. I don't worry about what I get. I'll take the leftovers. She gets what she wants. She wants me to have the same thing, though. And when you're both trying to meet each other's desires and needs, can I tell you something? It's a bit fun. By the way, I don't say, how am I doing? Am I doing a good job? You just lost it, dude. There's no barometer for that. Just, you'll know when you hit the right note. Trust me. You see, then I don't insert my opinion in areas that are not mine. I don't say, that doesn't look real good. I don't say, well, if I'd have done it, I'd have done it this way. Good, then do it next time. I don't insert my opinion. I don't care which way she cleans the house, whether she vacuums first or dusts first, or whether she starts in the bathrooms or starts in the living room. I really don't give a flip. I've been at work all day. As long as I can get to my chair and get to the table and get food down the pie hole, who gives a flip? Am I doing okay? But some of you are so dead set on getting it your way that you have that monotone house. Everybody's got to go your way on your note. Do it that way only. And you wonder why there's dissonance in your house. You might find out somebody has a better way of doing it than you. And it might get done a whole lot faster. And just because it's not done when you want doesn't mean it shouldn't doesn't mean anything. I don't care what day my wife does laundry. As long as I got something to put on and get where I need to go, have at it. Everybody doing okay? And if for some reason she's been too busy to do it, I know where the washing machine is in the dryer. I know where the iron's at. Everybody doing all right? I say, preacher, do you iron your own shirts every once in a while? I told this a couple months ago. Now, when she irons a shirt, every part of that shirt gets done. Folks, when you throw a suit coat on, who gives a flip? I do the sleeves and the front part, and the rest of it I don't give a rip about. I throw that suit coat on, you don't know whether I ironed this shirt or not. And I'll promise you, by this time of the day, whether she did or I did, you couldn't tell the difference. Say, where'd you learn that? Bible college, of course. Now listen to me. We need to work together in marriages to please each other, not to be pleased ourselves. We are so selfish that we want the other person to give us what we want. How about you quit wanting things, and how about you start wanting what the other person wants? You'll find out life's a whole lot better that way. By the way, the same is true in friendship and at church. If we're excited about giving each other what the other needs, we won't have cliques in church. By the way, we're not going to have any cliques at church. Amen. Ground's level at the cross, and if you have to talk behind somebody's back, you're probably saying something you shouldn't. And can tell you something, don't let somebody vomit in your ear by telling gossip. Amen. You've met a preacher that can break any clique that ever comes up, trust me. We're not going to have this little group here and this little group there. This, you know, us four no more. We're all a family. We're all going to sit down in the living room and get along with one another. I'm not going to have somebody sit on this side of the auditorium that won't speak to somebody on that side of the auditorium. I'll get you up and move you and I'll bring you to my office and make you sit there and look at each other. You talk about cruel punishment when I was a kid, when my brother and I'd argue and they'd sit us at the table and you had to sit there and look at each other. Growl, growl, growl. And then you get big enough where you can kick each other under the table, you know. Been there, done that. Number three, I got to hurry. We can love family unconditionally, but we don't have to approve the wrong that they do. We can love family unconditionally, but that doesn't mean you condone the wrong that they do. I love my children. I love the folks in this church. I can love you whether you're living right or not. But it doesn't mean I'm going to put my stamp of approval on the wrong that you do. Everybody do it okay? Okay, let's use something ridiculous. You ladies that chew tobacco. I'm only talking about Ashley and Marcia and Ellen. All right? It's okay, preacher. I got it. Wait a minute. Tobacco is a sin, all right? I'm not going to quit preaching on it just because you do it. Right. Now, don't do it here. Some of you might smoke. If God intended you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on your head. Why people want to go out, mow the grass, let it dry out, roll it in a paper, light it on fire and stick it in their mouth and think they're cool, I don't understand it. But they do. Okay. But do me a favor. Just don't do it here at church. Now, I can show you where you shouldn't do it at all. But can I tell you something? I'd rather you come to church. Just don't do it here. I can love you whether you do that or not. Everybody doing okay? I loved my children when they did right. I loved them when they did wrong. But I did not tolerate the wrong by saying it's okay, go ahead and do wrong anyway. Oh no. All of us are sinners. Aren't you glad God loved you while you're a sinner?
Right.
Before you get your self-righteous nose stuck so far in the air, if it rained, you'd drown. You better get a good look at yourself as the sinner you really are. For years, it's amazing how fast we are to point somebody else's sin out, but you don't want to let everybody know what yours is. I got grown kids. Did you know grown kids have grown problems? Adult children have adult issues. Did you realize that because adult children have adult issues? Now look at me. That means this. My daughter has the right to make her own mistakes. If she asks my advice, I can keep her from a lot of them. But I can't make her do anything. Now listen to me. She'll be wise if she'll listen to somebody who's been through some of those situations. But if not, I'll say, I told you. Your problem. You get a speeding ticket, it's your problem. You don't listen to mom and dad about this, it's your problem. They've all been told. You move out, you don't get a key. Thank God we built a new house and they don't, any of them have keys. Amen? Nor garage door openers. They got a knock to come in the house now. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Say why? Because they're supposed to be adults. I can love them, but I don't have to put up with the wrong that they do. And they're not going to bring wrong to the home, in my home. If my daughter starts chewing tobacco, she's going to spit it out outside before she comes home. I won't let her chew at home. Everybody doing okay? By the way, she doesn't chew tobacco. She does dip snuff. That's right. That big wad doesn't look as good as that, just that little pouch right there, you know? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Too many times we want to tolerate, we think we love them by letting them do wrong under our influence. Wrong answer. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, my Bible says, God says in 1 John, if you love me, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, if you love me, keep my commandments. God equates love with the obedience to rules. When young people break rules, they're telling you they don't love you and they don't love God. When you break rules, you're telling God you don't love him. Everybody doing okay? When my children were little, Mindy's laughing. She knows where I'm headed with this. She's heard this a few times. I'd say, did you break a rule? Yes, sir. All right, that means you don't love me. Yes, I do. No, you don't. If you love me, you would have obeyed. I love you. I love you. You won't spank me, will you? And I would say this. I love you enough to obey God, whether you obey God or not. And as much as I love you, I love God more, and I've got to obey him. Therefore, I must do this. Oh, they hated that. She still hates that. I was watching her just do this while I said it. We've had a few of those powwows. I powed, she wowed. Can I tell you something? My kids learn to love and respect God that way. I tell them they hate their mother. Oh, man, you talk about hurting two boys. My boys are men. They love their mama. I'd look at them and say, you hate your mother. No, I don't, Dad. Yeah, you did. You disobeyed her. Well, hate her. Yes, you do. If you won't obey her, you hate her. That's what God said. Come on, son, knock it off. You watch my boys around their mama. You know, one's 27, one's 24, and they just hang all over her. All she's got to do is look at them. Okay, Mom, what'd I do? They love and respect their mother because we taught them to love and respect God. And that obedience qualifies as love and disobedience qualifies as hate. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I didn't say it, God did. In other words, we ought to obey God to be good Christians. That's why we ought to be at church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Say why? Because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I believe we ought to be at church as much as we possibly can be. That's why we have Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday night's different than Sunday morning. I'm not preaching this same sermon tonight. Wednesday night's our Bible study. I teach something totally different. Every service is different. You say, why? Because we've got to grow closer in love with our God so we can get along with each other, so we can go out to a lost and dying world, take the gospel to them, get them saved, and bring them in and show them how good it is on the inside. That's what it's all about. You see, the world is missing notes in the chord. Look how disharmonied the world is. Look how dissonant things are in our world today. Say, why? Because they have missing chords. They have missing notes in their chord. I've got to hurry. I'll just run through this quickly. We need to learn to pray for our families. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1 talks about praying for our families. We need to pray that if you have somebody lost in your family, that they would get saved. We have to pray that for their burdens and their needs. Did you know we should pray for each and everybody's family's burdens? By the way, as a church, we ought to pray for one another. My wife's got some family that are a bit cantankerous. We have some on both sides, by the way, not just her side, my side as well. But I'm thinking of one in particular. You wouldn't need to watch a soap opera. All you got to do is listen to them talk for about 10 minutes. As the stomach churns. I'm telling you. Say, what do? Do you get frustrated with it? No, I pray for them. I'd like someday to be there to help them when they need. Are they doing okay? Let them know you're praying for them. My wife's aunt and uncle was here a couple months ago, and I text Jacob virtually every morning letting him know I pray for him. Well, I led Jacob to the Lord years ago. He's first time he's ever set foot in a Baptist church other than a funeral is when he came here. Well, you talk about a man's got some questions, but I've earned his respect enough he'll listen. We need to ask God for the wisdom to get along with them to be able to help them. Did you know some people aren't easy to get along with? Right, Wally? Fred is a bit difficult. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, we have to pray for wisdom on how to get along with somebody. Fellas, no woman thinks like a man. And ladies, no man thinks like a woman. But by the way, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Some of you want to be mental homosexuals. You want your wife to think like you, sir. And ladies, you want him to think like you. No. Everybody doing okay? I don't expect my wife to think like a man. I don't. Now, wait a minute. Too many of us want to be that one note. Ding, 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 ding. God wants it to be in harmony. Full chord. As he started playing Jesus Loves Me in full chords. That's what God wants. Too many of you want middle C. Do, 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 do. So we ought to pray for wisdom on how to put those notes together so that it's harmonious and we don't have bad notes in there. By the way, it's true with our church family. We ought to learn to get along with one another. Did you know somebody here is going to irritate you someday? Do you know someday the preacher is going to get up and clean your plow and you're not going to be real happy with him? Well, guess who I hit today? Can I tell you something? I'm just the messenger. I didn't read your mail. I didn't listen to your phone conversations. God doesn't have a computer screen that pops up and says, okay, Marcia's doing this and Ellen did that. There's not enough screen for all that. Scroll here. You know. Page down, page down, page down. Can I tell you something? We're going to have to learn how to get along with one another. Well, if I was them, I would. Okay, you're not them. Shut up. Quit sticking your nose in their business. And by the way, quit worrying about what sin somebody else has done. Well, you're just trying to cover everything up. Aren't you glad it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? You'll thank me someday when it's your kids. You'll thank me one day when it's your family. Everybody doesn't need to know your sin. Get somebody up and tell them all the bad things you did. You can't forgive their sin anyway. Only God can. So all you want to do is spread somebody else's bad news around. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. God wants us in harmony. That means this. Harmony in our homes. Harmony with the people with whom we live. Harmony with the people here at church in God's family. Fitly framed together. Harmony as Christians. That means this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Get in harmony with God. Quit telling God what note you're playing and expect Him to adjust to you. Oh, no, 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 no. He sets the chord. You fit in with Him. That means after we've been saved, we ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It doesn't get you saved. No more than me wearing a wedding ring makes me married. But people know I'm married because I wear it. It's just a picture. But it's the first act of obedience. After you've been saved, after you've been baptized, you ought to join an old-fashioned church. You found one. Plain and simple. But may I say this, we also ought to be out. My family is growing. I've got a daughter-in-law. They've had 3 children that have gone to heaven in miscarriage. And my daughter's working on a son-in-law. Folks, if he can live this summer, he might make it. He might make it. Yeah, he's found out the old man still knows how to shoot, though. He's not getting too far out of line, let me tell you. And one of my sons walked up to him and said, "Now listen, I know she's my sister, but you get out of line. We're going to take care of you." Uh-huh. I'm not lying, am I? Uh-huh. Say, why is that? Because that's what family does. By the way, I'll protect you that way. I'm not going to let somebody talk bad about you. Nor am I going to talk bad about you to somebody else. Say, why? Because we're all sinners. How about we just all fitly form together and make great chords for God? That's what God wants. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please give everybody the respect they deserve. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven someday"? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you." If you say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know that someday," would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, "Preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. It was for me." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand and said you didn't know for sure you're going to heaven, we'd like to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized and like to take care of it today, we could do it today. We've got everything you need. We've got things for you to put on so that your clothes don't get wet. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar, and maybe you need to kneel with some of your family. Maybe you just need to kneel between you and God, but whatever the need.